and welcome to Dragonfly Tales, a story podcast with me, Emily. And each episode, we will tell you a story from around the world and share some fun and silly things with you. Now, times change, and people get older, and voices get deeper. This episode, it's just going to be me, as Leo's got lots of things to do. But don't worry, he'll be dropping in to say hello very, very soon. We're going to start this episode with a new guest teller, Aaron Oliver, who is a prop maker and storyteller based here in London. Aaron is passionate about creating stories, whether on stage or behind the scenes. Aaron performs for a variety of audiences at venues such as libraries, theatres, community centres and cabarets. Aaron tells folk tales and myths alongside original stories, passionate about representing different identities. Aaron also co-runs Elephant Tales, a monthly storytelling for adults in Elephant and Castle. Here is Aaron telling the wonderful tale, The Floating Heads.
Once upon a time, there was a girl who lived with her father in the woods. Her mother had died, and so her father decided he was going to remarry. He married a woman who already had a child, so now the girl had a new mother and a new sister. And her mother had always taught her to be kind. So she was as kind as she possibly could be to her new mother and her new sister. But it didn't work. No matter how kind she was to them, they were horrible to her. They always were cruel and mean, and they were always giving her jobs to do. And no matter how good she did on the jobs, and she would try her hardest, they always had criticism and just a new job lined up. And eventually, the girl grew sick of it. And she decided she was going to leave and she was going to seek her own fortune. You see, she had heard that somewhere in the woods they lived in was a magical well. And so her stepmother packed her a packed lunch, just stale, crusty bread, water, and the hard rinds of a cheese. But she took it and she went off on her journey. And she walked and she walked through the winding paths of the forest until she grew tired to her bones, and her stomach began to rumble. So she decided she would stop and eat her packed lunch. But just as she was looking for a spot to eat her packed lunch, somebody, small and green, jumped from the bushes in front of her and said,
"Oi! Can you share your lunch with me? I'm very hungry."
Now, her mother had always taught her to be kind to everyone, even if they were small and green and quite peculiar. And so she said, "Sure, why not?" So they found a spot to eat, and she shared her meagre lunch with the small green man. After they had finished eating, he said,
"To thank you for your kindness, I will tell you this. The well you're seeking is surrounded by a big thorny bush, and if you try and push through it, it will tear you to shreds. But if you ask nicely and say please, it'll form a pathway for you and you can walk right through."
The little girl thanked the small green man and she headed off on her way. And she walked and she walked and she walked and she walked until eventually she came across exactly what the man had described. There was the well, and surrounding it was a thick, thorny bush. So she stood in front of the bush and she said, "Please, bush, may I come through?" And the vines and thorns began to twist and move, and opening up in front of her was a pathway. She walked through, and there in front of her was the well. It was a beautiful clearing, the sun shining, the birds singing, and the water looked crystal clear, and she realised she was really thirsty. So she leaned down and put her hands in the well to bring some water to her mouth. But as her hands entered the water, something wet and slimy and hairy brushed against her fingers, and bob, to the top of the water bobbed a head a small green head with twigs in its hair and slimy moss growing on its skin and bulging wet eyes. And the head said,
"Wash me, comb me, lay me out to dry, softly and prettily to watch the passers-by."
The girl was quite horrified, but her mother had always taught her to be kind, even if someone was just a head. So she reached into the water and she grabbed the slimy head and she started to wash it in the well, scrubbing the slime off of its skin. And then she started to brush her fingers through its knotted hair, pulling out the twigs and the dirt and the leaves. And then, once she had done, she laid the head down on a mossy embankment so that it could dry in the sun and watch all the birds. Whew, she was quite tired after all of that, and thirsty. So she went back to the well, and she reached her hands in, when, bob, another head bobbed to the surface, even slimier and even dirtier than the first, and it said,
"Wash me, comb me, lay me out to dry, softly and prettily to watch the passers-by."
So she rolled up her sleeves and she reached into the well and she started to scrub the head and comb its knotted hair, and then she lay it out next to the first head. Well, now she was really thirsty. She reached in and, you guessed it, bob, another head bobbed to the surface.
"Wash me, comb me, lay me out to dry, softly and prettily to watch the passers-by."
So she got to it. She washed, she combed, and she lay it out next to the first two heads. The heads were very happy. They were smiling. The first one said,
"Brothers, this is a very kind girl. We should do something for her to say thank you."
And the second one said,
"I agree, brother. Let's make her smell the most beautiful and delicious of anybody in the land."
And the third one said,
"Yes, yes, that's a great idea."
And the girl saw the water in the well begin to sparkle. She reached in and she took a mouthful of the water. And it was the most sweet and delicious water she'd ever drunk. It tasted like squash. And then she felt a tingling, starting in the very tips of her toes, moving up to her ankles, her knees, her waist, her stomach, her shoulders, her head, until she felt it all over her body. And then the most amazing smell began to come from her. And as she walked, birds and butterflies were landing on her shoulders, and flowers were growing wherever she stepped. She walked through the pathway in the hedge till she came to a road, and a cart drove by. And as it did, it stopped. What was that smell? Oh, it was like home-baked pie and freshly grown roses. And the cart stopped and the man leaned down and said, "Are you looking for a ride to town?" She said, "Well, that would be lovely, actually. Thank you." So she came and sat by him and they started to talk. And he told her that he worked in a shop and they were actually looking for some help. And they sold perfume and, wow, she must be wearing the most amazing perfume. Maybe she should work there. And she started talking about some ideas that she would have, and he thought they were brilliant. So it was decided she was going to stay in the room above the shop and work there. And wow, business was booming. Everybody couldn't get enough of these amazing scents. Well, when her stepmother heard about this, she was not happy. She must have found the well. So she got her daughter and said, "There's a magical well in this forest. You're going to go find it and get yourself some good fortune." So she pushed her out with a packed lunch of lovely soft rolls, cakes and tarts, a bottle of apple juice, crisps, the most delicious packed lunch you've ever seen. And the girl set out on her journey. She walked and she walked and she walked through the winding parts of the forest till she was so tired. And her stomach began to rumble, and she thought now was probably a good time to have that delicious packed lunch. But just as she was looking for a place to sit and eat it, out from the bushes jumped a small green man.
Can you share your packed lunch with me? I'm very hungry.
Well, she was not as kind as her stepsister, so she just said,
absolutely not, you weird little man. Go away.
And she kept walking.
Well, that's very rude, isn't it?
So when she came to the well and saw the bush of winding, twisting vines and sharp thorns, she just pushed through it. The thorns tore out clumps of her hair, ripped her clothes, and by the time she got to the other side, she was a complete mess. I need a drink. So she put her hands into the well to get herself a drink. And something wet and slimy and hairy brushed against her fingertips. And bob, to the surface bobbed a head, slimy and mossy and gross. And it said,
wash me, comb me, lay me out to dry, softly and prettily to watch the passers-by.
Gross, 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 gross. And she reached and she grabbed the head and she threw it as far as she could. And then reached in again, bob, a second head.
Wash me, comb me.
Absolutely not. She grabbed it, she threw it. Bob, the third head, came to the surface.
Oh my gosh!
And she grabbed it and she kicked it into the woods. Well, the heads weren't very pleased with this. The first one said,
brothers, this is a very horrible girl. We should do something to punish her. Yes, yes, I agree. Let's make her smell the most terrible in all the land. Yes, that's a brilliant idea, brother.
And though the girl didn't notice it, the water became darker and smellier. She reached in, she took a drink, and it was the most stale, disgusting water she'd ever drunk. And she started to feel a tingling in the tips of her toes, moving up to her ankles, her knees, her waist, her shoulders, and then her head. And suddenly, a horrible smell started to emit from her. The birds flew away and a swarm of flies began to fly around her head. Everywhere she walked, the flowers and the grass were dying. She stepped out from the hedge and onto a path, and a cart drew by, and when it smelled her, it sped up and started riding away faster. Eventually, she got to town, and when she did, everybody cleared out. The smell was so terrible. It was like smelly cheese or stinky socks or... was that poo? Doors were shutting. Windows were being slammed shut. Everybody was avoiding her. Nobody would talk to her. First, she was getting annoyed. Then she got sad. Then she decided she was just going to go home. But when she got home, her mother wouldn't even answer the door. She smelled so bad and she didn't look like her daughter. Her clothes were ripped and her hair was torn out. Go away, she said. Leave me alone. And so the girl sadly stepped away from the door and started to walk down the path and she started to cry. Nobody likes me. I smell so bad. Eventually, a cart drove past. But this one didn't speed up and go faster. It stopped. In it was her stepsister. She leaned down and handed her a flask, filled with the most sweet-smelling, delicious-tasting water she'd ever seen. She drank it, and then she started to feel a tingling in her head, moving down to her shoulders, moving down to her waist, her knees, her ankles, her toes, and finally, the bad smell was gone. Better, her stepsister said.
Yes, it is better, but why did you help me? I was so mean to you.
You were, but I forgive you. I want us to be friends. Can we be friends?
Yes.
And the two sisters hugged and made up, and they both lived happily ever after.
So, listeners, did you like Aaron's story? What was your favourite bit? Be sure to let us know in the Facebook group or email us. I think it's time for some shout-outs. Now, usually I do this bit with Leo, and don't worry, he will be back. But for now, it's just me. And my first shout-out is to Carmen in South London. Carmen absolutely loved the Robin Hood story. In fact, she loves all the stories. So, hi, Carmen. Thanks for listening. Next, we have Hugo, who's 6 years old and he's from Kingston upon Thames in London. Love hearing from the London folks. Hi, Hugo. Thanks for listening. Here's another shout out to Zoya, who did us a wonderful picture of Medusa and her sisters. She's 5 3/4 years old and lives in Nantucket Island, USA. Hi, Zoya. Thanks for the drawing and thanks for listening. Here's another shout out to long-time listeners Layla and Macy. Hi, you two. Thanks for listening. We also have a shout out to Jake, who is 10, and Dylan, who is 6. Hi, Jake. Hi, Dylan. Thanks for listening. Here's a happy birthday shout out to Alex, who's turning 8, and he's in Greenwich, UK. And his little brother Luca listens too. Hi, Alex. Hi, Luca. Thanks for listening. We also have a shout out to Nelly. She's 7, and she sometimes tells stories together at her after school club in Stockland in Devon. Oh, I love that, Nelly. Keep sharing the stories and thanks for listening. And finally, here's a shout out to Nara, who is 7, and her pussycat Daisy. They're both in Somerset. Hi, Nara. Meow, meow, Daisy. Thanks for listening. So, listeners, I bet you're wondering what my story is this time. Well, we did a big three-parter, The Snow Queen, so I think it's time to go away from the ice and the cold to somewhere much, much hotter. My story is from the Shona tribe, who live in Zimbabwe and Mozambique in southern Africa. Now, there are some funny voices in this story. There is a very, very deep voice
and a very, very high, squeaky voice.
So I hope you'll join along with me. For this story is all about how elephant learns some manners. It was a hot day. The mighty sun was high in the sky, making everything on the ground shimmer. There was no shade, and the animals were all headed to the river to keep cool. Elephant thundered his way along a dirt path in a proud and lordly fashion. He was seeking the best and deepest part of the river, as so he should, for he was mighty. Suddenly, Elephant came to a halt, and that takes some effort as he was so big. For in front of him in the path was Squirrel. Her bushy tail curled up over her head to shade her from the hot sun.
Good day, Elephant, said Squirrel. It's very hot today, isn't it?
Elephant frowned. Too hot, and you are blocking my path.
Squirrel squeaked. I was only being pleasant.
I have not the time to exchange pleasantries with the likes of little you. And he swung his trunk and swept Squirrel off the path. Out of my way, you of no importance and tiny size. Squirrel landed in a bush.
Oh.
Most offended. Well, wouldn't you be? She stamped her tiny feet in frustration.
That lumbering beast has no manners. No manners at all. It's time he learned some.
Squirrel clambered out of the bush and scampered after Elephant, shouting, "Hey! Hey, you!" Elephant didn't even turn around but called back,
"What is it, Pipsqueak?"
You may be big and you may be mighty, and you definitely think you're better than all animals.
That's because I am. I'm the greatest animal on this earth.
Well, you're not. You only think you are, but you're wrong.
That made Elephant stop and turn around.
I am never wrong. I am the greatest, and everyone knows it, except you, but you're too small and insignificant to know anything.
Squirrel was now chittering furiously, her tail darting this way and that.
I may be small, but I can eat 10 times as much as you.
Elephant stared at Little Squirrel.
Oh, don't be ridiculous. You would pop like a fuzzy balloon.
I wouldn't, said Squirrel. I challenge you to an eating contest, and I bet you that I, Squirrel, can eat more palm nuts and for a longer time than you. What do you say to that, Mr. High and Mighty?
Elephant roared with laughter so that the trees shook.
Well, I rather enjoy palm nuts, and I'm curious to see what happens when a silly squirrel explodes. I accept.
The sun was dipping, and with that came some shade. Both animals began collecting delicious palm nuts and each made their own pile in the shade of the trees. They were both very sure to collect exactly the same amount. And each time Squirrel added more to her pile, squirrels are wonderful at collecting nuts, by the way, Elephant would add more to his pile. By evening, two huge piles of palm nuts stood before them. The piles were nearly the size of Elephant. Little Squirrel looked tiny next to her mountain of nuts.
Squirrel, are you sure you are still wishing to challenge me?
Yes, smiled Squirrel. Let us begin in the morning, at first light.
Elephant could hardly wait. He even skipped his evening meal of acacia pods so that his belly would be completely empty for the morning. He would put Squirrel firmly in her place. He smiled at the thought of Squirrel having to say the words,
"You, Elephant, are indeed the greatest of all animals."
Elephant was still thinking about his moment of glory as he fell asleep. Great snores shaking the branches of the trees all around. The next day, the African sun dawned and spread its golden fingers across the land. Elephant and Squirrel stood in front of their giant piles of pine nuts.
On your marks,
get set,
go!
Elephant began to munch through his pile. Being so huge, he could shove several palm nuts in his mouth at once. Palm nuts are about the size of a walnut or an apricot. Squirrel was nibbling furiously on her nuts, and in no time at all, she was so full she thought she might burst. And that is when she began her plan. As Elephant was greedily scoffing down his nuts, Squirrel sneaked behind a tree where her brother was waiting. They gave each other a quick high five.
Woohoo!
And then her brother scampered over to the pile and began nibbling away at the nuts. Greedy Elephant didn't even notice the squirrels switch places. One squirrel looked pretty much like another to him.
When Brother Squirrel was full, he dashed behind the tree and high-fived his cousin, who quickly took over eating the nuts. All day long, Elephant munched and the squirrels kept swapping places. Brothers, sisters, cousins, uncles, aunts, all of them helping to eat the pile of palm nuts, one hungry little squirrel after another taking turns. And their pile got smaller and smaller. Soon the sun was high in the sky. Elephant paused. His pile was halfway gone. He looked over to Squirrel, who was actually Auntie Mabel Squirrel at this point.
"Well, my fuzzy friend, have you had enough yet?"
"Not at all. How about you?"
Elephant was shocked. Not only was Squirrel still busily munching away, but her pile was half gone too. How was this possible? Elephant huffed.
I'm only just beginning, he said, and started to eat a little bit quicker.
Munch, munch, nibble, nibble, munch, munch, nibble, nibble. Each time a squirrel was full, they slipped away and swapped with another relative. Uncle Ted stepped in, and then Cousin Felicia. And Grandpa Nutkins even joined in, and elephants never suspected a thing. By the time the sun was setting, Elephant was so full of palm nuts he was beginning to sway. He felt quite queasy. Squirrel, who had been resting in the branches of the tree all day, watching her family scurrying back and forth, filling up on delicious nuts, climbed down from the tree. She was actually hungry now, ready for her evening meal, and she began nibbling away happily. Elephant looked over at Squirrel, who held up a nut and smiled before scoffing it down.
Delicious!
Elephant groaned. His belly ached. He picked up a palm nut in his trunk and he tried to force it into his mouth.
It's no good. I can't eat another thing.
And he fell back onto his enormous bottom. His head bowed and his trunk limp.
Had enough, Elephant?
Yes, yes, I have. I can't go on, I'll burst. But you, little squirrel, you are amazing. You have out-eaten me.
Yes, said Squirrel. I have out-eaten you. You could say I've beaten you.
It took all of Elephant's strength to pull himself onto his feet. He turned to Squirrel and raised his trunk in a salute.
You have indeed beaten me. I declare that you, Squirrel, have won our contest, and from this day I shall not be so proud.
Squirrel jumped in the air with delight.
Thank you, Elephant. That means a great deal to me. We must all respect each other, big or small, don't you think?
And from that day to this, Huge Elephant has always shown the greatest respect for Little Squirrel. The end. So, listeners, did you like that story from the Shona tribe of Southern Africa? What was your favourite bit? Please let us know. I think my favourite bit was Squirrel's cunning plan, getting all of his family to help him win the contest and show Elephant that size doesn't matter at all. So that's it for this episode.
Thank you to Aaron Oliver for that wonderful tale, The Floating Head, and we'll have another guest teller coming soon. And if you are enjoying our podcast, please like and subscribe. Keep sending us your beautiful pictures and maybe some of your stories too. And thank you so much. You have been listening to Dragonfly Tales with Emily. We hope you enjoyed the podcast and we'll have another story coming soon. But until then, size doesn't matter. You can be big or small. It's the way you behave. Show respect, one and all. Bye.
Our podcast is brought to you by Emily, Leo and Andy at Dragonfly Tales. Join our Dragonfly Tales podcast group on Facebook. Find us on Instagram @DragonflyTalesPod. And follow us on Twitter @EmilyDragonfly.